This past summer, I gave a homily for my cousin's wedding, and I considered it to be a decent homily that exhorted the importance of sacrifice and self-gift as a principle of married life. I left thinking the wedding, it wasn't a perfectly delivered homily, but certainly the essential points were expressed. And as normally is the case, my family months later told me what they really thought about it. One view from the pew was, as we say, it was rather dark for a homily at a wedding. Why is he talking about sacrifice at a wedding? Something more joyful, hopeful, and optimistic should have been said. Our encounter with today's readings remind us that marriage is no less controversial now as it was then. The Pharisees know the advantage of a well-chosen question, and their question to Jesus goes to the heart of human vocation and life. The Pharisees offer the question of the law, which law that measures and evaluates based on a legal contract. A contract always evaluates the principles based on what the party receives. Therefore, if they do not receive what they have agreed upon, the contract can be dissolved, and the two parties go in their separate way. Today, we might think and view and speak about the Christian vocation of marriage, of the priesthood and religious life, and of discipleship in general, as pursued on what one receives. But you see, the importance of one's life is not measured on what one receives so much as what one gives. Christ points them back, not to a contract of human law, but the covenant of divine providence. You see, the beginning of the book of Genesis recounts the fundamental point in which God looks lovingly upon humankind and destines there to be a partnership of life and love. It is fully expressed when the sacred author reminds that a husband and wife share not a contract written on paper, but their flesh and bones, the rib, the very core of their existence. They are united in a manner that relies on dependence, for two ribs make a person, and two people make a marriage. The dependence of a child is also offered at the conclusion of the gospel as a model of Christian vocation. Why is that? Because a child cannot be independent. They cannot sustain themselves, especially in the early years of life. In a similar manner, the Christian vocation of marriage, of priesthood, and of Christian discipleship in general cannot be sustained by itself because it involves an interdependence, a cooperation, a sacrifice, and above all, the divine gift of God's grace. You see, sacrifice never makes sense in a world of contracts, because it is a world that is always guarding itself, always self-preserving and isolating. Me against you. All of the Christian vocations are founded in sacrifice, which breaks the isolation and the darkness of human existence. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is the only thing that destroys the hardness of heart. The hardness of heart that the Pharisees possessed, and a motif that is spread throughout the Old Testament. The hardness of heart which signals the individual's will turning away from the divine plan of God and instead turning inward on itself. There is a saying, you may have heard of it, the corruption of the best is the worst. The vocation of marriage, of religious life, and of pursuing the mission of the gospel is the best. Oftentimes, perhaps especially in these recent months, we have seen how the dark and painful it is when it is manipulated in independence and selfishness. These vocations become a context for great pain, suffering, and sadness. And certainly, there is no joy, hope, and optimism in this. You see, the Christian vocation, whether it be to marriage life, to religious life, or to a single mission or purpose, is always centered in sacrifice. It is a sacrifice that we offer ourselves not for self-preservation, but rather self-offering to those whom we love and even those whom we struggle to love. there can be no substitute that will offer the same joy, hope, and optimism that sacrifice makes, which truly makes us whole and connected.